Hello, everyone. This is Uxbridge High School Principal Mike Rubin. This Uxbridge High School Spartan podcast is the audio of our Junior Parent Seminar, which was hosted by our counseling team on Wednesday, February 10th. Join slightly in progress in the first couple seconds.
You are in amazing hands. The next, 18 months or so between maybe like 16 months between now and this class's graduation. They're going to go quickly. There is a lot that will happen. There's a lot of information. And even if you've been through the college search process, or post high school search process, I guess, more than just college, there are a lot of nuances and challenges that this team has been working to address, given the peculiarities of where we are right now. Just to name a few and just to offer them my kudos, we've had virtual college visits, we've had virtual admissions office visits, we've had different opportunities involving all the branches of the military, and we've been in touch with a lot of schools around how things have shaped up and affected admissions and the search process for students who maybe haven't been able to visit the same way that they would have in the past. And these three women have been so on top of things. It's been one thing, despite all the challenges of the pandemic, it's been one thing that I have not really had to worry about. So you are in incredibly good hands. Your kids are in incredibly good hands. And again, if there's anything any of us can do, both during and after this next few weeks and months, don't hesitate to reach out. Last thing, and this is something that we're going to kind of just gloss over because this isn't necessarily the goal tonight. We are going to start building course selections over the next few weeks for your students. This is the time when students will start thinking about things like internships and different things that they may do in their senior year to help set them up for more success as beyond high school. We're working on more classes that are articulated for college credit that'll be taught by some of our folks next year, as well as fine-tuning some of our early college work, which we've been doing each year that helps get kids college credit at a reduced cost, as well as making sure that our students have all the opportunities they need if they're interested in AP or portfolio or some of the more advanced coursework. So again, that may not be a topic for tonight, but if those are things that your students or you have questions about in the next few weeks, don't hesitate to give us a holler. I'm going to turn things over to the counselors. I just wanted to say thank you to them. I think you'll get a sense of how solid a team we have and how grateful you ought to be for them. They really are great, and I'm very appreciative of their efforts to make this happen, even though we're in, like I said, some unique circumstances. So Ms. Smith, Ms. Toto, Ms. Cotter, the floor is back to yours. Thanks for giving me a couple of minutes to say hello.
Thank you, Mr. Rubin.
Thank you.
Okay. And no pressure. Now you have to do a really good job.
Right. So, hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight for our post-secondary planning for junior parents and guardians. We will kind of go through some information regarding options and what your students should be doing right now, what you should be doing right now. But we'll start with introducing ourselves and our caseloads.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Smith, Ashley Smith. I have the caseload for students with last names A through GO.
I'm Mrs. Toto, Jamie Toto. I have the caseload last names GR to O.
And I'm Ms. Cotter. My caseload is last names P through Z, so I'm the end of the alphabet.
So we've set up a Google Classroom for the class of 2022 that you guys are free to join as well. So we have the Google Classroom code up here right now. We met with the junior students today earlier this morning. We also recorded that session in case any juniors were not able to make it. But the point of this Google Classroom that we explained to them as well is this is not a place where we're going to assign homework, we're going to assign things for them to do like they're kind of used to in Google Classrooms. This is more of a place to house information. That way, this year, next year, they'll remain in the same Google Classroom and it'll follow them through both years so that they can find any information that they need, any of our recordings, any of our presentations, some of the documents that we're going to talk about. So it'll be all in one spot. So if you are interested in joining the Google Classroom, you definitely can do that as well. So the goals for tonight, we want to talk to you about the entire process of applying, specifically to a 2 or 4 year college. Obviously, the entire process is a little bit overwhelming, so this might be a lot of information to take in if you have not had any experience with this yet. But we also want to talk about post-secondary options in general, because obviously there's more than just a 2 or 4 year college. And to show you and talk to you about the steps of the process that your juniors should be completing by the end of this year. And then we'll talk a little bit also about SAT and ACT exams, because we know that this has been a hot topic and definitely a concern for students and probably parents as well. So the school counseling and the college application process. So the spring of this year, these are just some things that we will be providing to students in ways that we'll be getting information out to them. So the junior spring seminar, which we did today for our juniors, we will be meeting with juniors also individually, having individual student meetings with them. And we need them to reach out to us. So if we encourage them to do this today when we talk to them, but if you can also encourage them to reach out to their counselor, you can just shoot us an email and say that they want to set up their meeting, and we will set one up with them one-on-one. That way we can kind of delve in deeper to some of this information that we're providing, and that way they kind of have an easier opportunity to ask us questions. Meetings with parents upon request. So if you are feeling totally lost, you have specific questions, you just want to meet with us, with your student, to get to know the process a little bit more, absolutely we can do that. And then a junior parent college night. And then fall of senior year. So we'll have a fall seminar for the seniors in September. So similarly, we'll get on the same page with them. We'll tell them, you know, at this point, this should be done, this should be done. And then we'll do the same thing and we'll do those individual student meetings as well. College fair in September is the goal. Financial aid night with MIFA. MIFA is a local organization that helps with financial aid, and a senior parent college night. So the reason we have the asterisks next to those is because obviously the event dates are going to be determined depending on the state of where things are in the world at that point, and may or may not be held virtually. So the college application timeline. This is just an overview of the application timeline. We're going to go deeper into each of these things. So if you're overwhelmed by listening to this slide, I don't blame you, but we will go deeper into it. So the spring of 2021, so pretty much coming up right now, visiting college campuses. We know that this is difficult because a lot of colleges are not doing this right now. Some are, and some are doing virtual college campus tours, or they're doing virtual admissions information sessions. So looking into those and starting to set some of those up just so your students can get an idea of what they are looking for. Exploring college options by doing college searches. We will talk to you guys more about that and the ways that you can do that. Building a college application list in Naviance. This is something that we will help your student do, but we want them to also start to look at and to build. So Naviance, we'll talk about more in detail. It houses a lot of information and a lot of resources, and your students should build your application list in there. That way we can also see it and help them with that. Recommendations. Again, we will talk more about this in depth, but you're gonna want your student to verbally or over email ask 2 teachers if they will write a letter of recommendation for them in the fall. So that can be something as simple as your student emailing a teacher and saying, hey, so-and-so, I'm planning to apply to college in the fall. Do you think you can write me a letter of recommendation, please, in the fall? Just to put it on their radar. Schedule interviews with admissions counselors at top choice colleges. if your student is really dead set on a college or two, they've been thinking about this college for years and years, or they had family members go there and they're interested, definitely reach out to admissions and see if they do any kind of interview or any kind of one-on-one information session. The SATs, take the SATs and or the ACTs. We will talk more about that. Maintaining good grades. That's really what the big focus should be for the rest of the year this year. Colleges, when students apply to college, they're going to be applying with their GPA through the end of junior year. So the rest of this year is important for them to focus on. And obviously getting involved in school and community opportunities as much as possible. Again, we will talk more about that and the issues around that right now. This summer, write college essay. Start to fill out the common application. Again, we'll go into all this more in detail, but just to give you a 2-second overview of what the common application is, the common application is one massive application. You only need to fill it out once, and then you pretty much select the schools that you want to apply to, and that one application goes to all the schools. That way you're not filling out and your student's not filling out 10, 12 separate applications with all the same information. Senior information sheet and a parent brag sheet. So these two things, again, we'll talk more about, but they are just for us. So colleges do not see these. This is just a way for us as counselors to gather more information about your student. And the parent brag sheet allows you guys to brag about your student, because usually your student's not gonna say everything about themselves and you're gonna actually give us a lot of the details that we won't get from them. So those are always helpful and fun to read too. So making sure to fill those out this summer so we can use those to write our counselor recommendations for your students. And then getting involved or looking for summer employment. And we talked to students today too about cleaning up their social media. Admissions people will look at their social media sometimes and search for them. And they obviously want to make sure they're putting their best foot forward and always. So an overview of different post-secondary options. So you have your typical 4-year colleges and universities. So those applications, students will start to fill out and submit in the fall and usually into the spring. So many of those deadlines, if they're doing kind of a regular decision, would be January, February. 2-year colleges, these can typically be community colleges. So you usually would apply in the spring of next year, unless there's a specialized program that a student is thinking about. I know some community colleges have programs like vet tech, dental hygiene. So some of those might have an earlier deadline. So you would just want to make sure that you are looking at that to make sure when that deadline is. And then there's technical schools and trade schools. So if your student is looking to only do 2 years, less than 2 years, and specifically go for a specific trade, New England Tech is a school that a lot of students go to. These applications similarly range from the fall into the spring. And then the military, we have contacts with a lot of the branches of the military, so we are happy to connect students with those representatives so that they can get some more information. They need to be 18 and they need to receive their high school diploma in order to do that. And then a gap year. Some students might just be done after high school. They can't even think about getting more education in any way. So some students might benefit from a gap year, which is great. But what I always say to students and families is if you're taking a gap year, make something of your gap year, volunteer, work a part-time job, do something, take a class or two, do something so that you can kind of still be figuring out what you do want to do moving forward. And then preparing for the application process. So grades in senior year classes do matter. Colleges obviously evaluate the whole application. GPA is a strong factor though. What colleges often like to see, if a student wasn't so strong freshman and sophomore year, it's okay, it is not the end of the world. They at least want to see an upward trajectory of the grades. And then extracurricular activities. So this is tough right now, right? So we're in a pandemic. There's not many clubs going on, not many activities going on. Things are looking super weird. And colleges get that and they understand that. So please, I would just encourage students not to stress too much about this and do what they can. Quality is more important than quantity. Colleges don't want to just see a list of things just to have things on there. They don't want to see 20 things that a student really doesn't care that much about. So if there's a few things that they've been involved with, make sure they note those down when they apply. And then just try your best to kind of stay involved as much as you can.
All right, so we're gonna talk about some online databases that you also are gonna, you and your student are gonna need to be aware of, and you're gonna become quite friendly with them over in the next spring and the next fall. So the common application, as Ms. Toto talked about, that's an application kind of database that you can apply to multiple colleges through, and we'll go through that with your students. We did today, and I'm sure we will be doing that in the future. Naviance is something that I'm going to go a little bit more in depth with in a minute, but this is a program that all of your students already have accounts for, and we told them today that if they don't know their username or password, they just have to reach out to their school counselor. We can reset that password for them, and then send them along their username. College Board is really your SAT kind of zone. So if you're going to send any SAT scores, you're going to register for any SAT tests on the weekends, that's what you're going to use as College Board. School counselors cannot update the Common App or College Board username and passwords for your students. We only have access to update the Naviance usernames and passwords. If they don't know their Common App, their College Board, and they're having issues, they can reach out to those programs directly. Speaking of SATs and ACTs, I know this is a question a lot of you may have. So with the world around us, what I'll start off with is that I'm sure you're tired of hearing that we're in an ever-changing world. What I'm going to say is we're in an ever-changing world. So what I say today may be different at some colleges in the next 3 hours. So many colleges are continuing their test optional policy from the, for next year, for 2021 to 2022. It's really going to be call, it's base by base. So what I would say is, as your student is making that list of schools, making that list of colleges they want to apply to, they're going to want to go on that college's website and check out and see what their test policy is. Is it optional? Is it not optional? So if a school is optional, you may be asking, what if we don't send their score? Is that going to look bad? No. If a school is optional and you do not send your student's score, it just doesn't become a factor of their application. They're not going to wonder why you didn't send them. It just won't be a factor. If it's test optional and you do send the scores, then that SAT score is now a factor of your student's application. So I always tell students, if you take the SAT and you're not super sure if you should send your scores or not, talk to us and we'll kind of help you decide whether or not we think it's a good idea and whether or not it will enhance your application instead of hinder it. So looking at those updated testing policies, those are really just gonna be on the college's website. We don't have any insider information. I wish we did, but honestly, like, we are getting emails from colleges every day about changing policies. So we forward those emails along to students as soon as we get them, but it's something you're really gonna wanna check out through the college's websites that your student wants to apply to. If your student does take the SAT or ACT, they're going to need to make an account through College Board or ACT. .org, and that's where they're going to register for the exams, except for one, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then that's where they'll also see their scores, and that's where they'll send their scores to schools if that's what they choose to do. So upcoming SAT dates. Uxbridge High School will not be holding any Saturday SAT sessions for the spring. I know some of you might have had your student register for either a March or a May session. We made the decision to cancel those sessions, and we're holding the SAT in school on a school day. So it's an SAT, it counts as an SAT. It's just called SAT in school day because it's on a Tuesday and not a Saturday. And the reason we're doing this is because this is gonna be offered just for our Uxbridge juniors. So what if you did register for one of the March and the May ones, two options that College Board is gonna give you, they're gonna say, you can A, either get refunded, or they'll say B, we can relocate you to the nearest high school if there's spots open at that school for that test date. So if you have not registered for SATs yet, though, any of these dates that aren't highlighted, you're going to register for those tests through College Board. Those are a weekend, Saturday morning, your typical SAT. The highlighted one, that's our SAT and school day. You're going to register through Family ID. So I sent an email out to your students probably like 3 times. They're probably really tired of seeing my name pop up in their inbox. But I kept sending it to them a few times. They're going to register for the test through Family ID. And then I have to know by February 22nd how many tests I need to order. Even though they do register through Family ID, they still need to make that College Board account. That way they can get, they still need to make a College Board account. That way they can eventually get their test scores and send those scores if that's something they want to do. If you have any questions about SAT, any questions related, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to chat with you about it. And once again, if you are someone that registered for our March or our May SAT that was supposed to be on a Saturday, you will be refunded and you can ask any of those questions through College Board. But the one on April 27th, you want to make sure you register through Family ID.
Ms. Cotter, I just want to bring up a quick question that someone had that's relevant to this that I think other people might have the same question.
Yes.
So someone asked, you know, if we would recommend that if a school is test optional, that kids do not send those scores. And the answer to that would be, it depends on how they score on the SAT. So just because you take the SAT, it doesn't mean you have to send the scores. You can take the SAT and never send your scores. So if a student takes the SAT, they get their score back, they're not really sure if it's good for the schools they want to go to, not good, they can absolutely and they should reach out to us and we can help guide them with that. They can also send it to some of their schools and not others. So we can help them kind of figure that out.
Yes. Thank you. And just as a note, I'm sharing my screen right now, so I can't see the chat. So if you do have any questions, just send it to either Mrs. Toto or Mrs. Smith or everyone. I just can't see if it's sent directly to myself. Upcoming ACT dates. So these are the upcoming dates for the ACT. You can register for the ACT through ACT.org. And it's very similar to registering for SATs through College Board. We are not offering any ACT test at Uxbridge High School, but local high schools will on these following dates. So Naviance. Naviance is something that you're going to hear a lot about over the next few months and definitely next fall. So right now, what your students should be doing on Naviance, if they say, you know, mom, dad, I don't know my Naviance login, you should say, reach out to your school counselor because they can help you. We have their username. We can reset their password. This is the one platform that we have access to kind of help them out with their logging in. So what they want to do right now is they want to use Naviance as a search tool to make that college list. So as you see that second bullet, Supermatch. Supermatch is a great thing they can use on Naviance. They can list all their preferences of their ideal college. They can choose if they want to go to college in the city or the suburb or have small class sizes or large class sizes. Do they want to be, do they want a bigger campus or a smaller campus? Supermatch allows you to choose all those preferences, and then it generates a list of schools that match those preferences. So I always tell students to check out Supermatch because it's going to help them kind of break that list down into places they can actually see themselves going to. So once they have that list, they're right now in the spring, they're probably going to be adding their colleges to the list called Colleges I'm Thinking About. But we want to start seeing by the end of the spring and early next fall, them switching over those colleges onto the list, Colleges I'm Applying To. Once your student puts their Colleges I'm Applying To list together in Naviance, us as the school counselors and their teachers that they're going to request for their recommendation letters can see where they're applying and what their deadlines are. This is super, super important because obviously we need to know when their deadlines are so we can send their materials. So right now, I would highly encourage you to tell your students to use Naviance to create the list of schools they're thinking about and start kind of moving them over into colleges they want to apply to. A really cool thing on Naviance that I like to look at too is that say like you're looking at a specific school, you're going to search the school name. So I would say I'm searching Bridgewater State University. There's going to come up a tab that says admissions. I'm going to click that. And at the bottom, there's going to be a graph that's going to show me past UHS student profiles that were either accepted or denied to Bridgewater State and what their GPA and their SAT score was. This is going to be super helpful when your student's trying to figure out, is this school a safety school, a reach school, a match school? Because they're going to be able to compare their own GPA and possibly their SAT scores to this applicant in the past and see, did they get in, did they not get in? So this is something I often send my students to, kind of helps them have a realistic lens of what their chances are of getting into that college. Letter of recommendations request, I'm going to talk about a little bit more in detail in a minute. But as a caveat, Naviance is not SATs. You will not send your SAT scores or your ACT scores through Naviance. This is what you're going to do. You're going to use Naviance for letters of recommendation and making that college list. College Board is SATs. I know there's a lot of programs, but we'll get it. Creating your college list is something your students should be working on. We always say go by the 3x4x3 rule. So three reach schools. A reach school is a competitive to get in based on GPA, test scores, and selectivity. Even if your student has a 4.0, there are reach schools out there for them. Some schools are just incredibly hard to get into. You're thinking of the Ivy Leagues or some schools in Boston, they're incredibly hard to get into, even for students with great GPAs. For match schools, so a match school is obviously your student's GPA matches other students that have gotten in, test scores, and has more of a lower rate of selectivity. And then three safety schools. You may think a safety school is a school where the students that were admitted had lower GPAs than your student, but also safety schools, you want to think about finances. Especially as the parent. Sometimes students forget to think about the finances. You know, as someone who just started paying my student loans, I have been telling all my students they need to think about their finances right now. So this is what we want to see their list. Some of your students are going to come up to you with, kind of come to us and you with a 20 school list. And some of them are going to say, I only want to apply to 5. And that's okay. But we're always going to say you want at least a couple safety, at least a couple match, and maybe one or two reach. Because we don't want you to look at a reach and think, oh, I'll never get in, I don't want to apply, because you really never know. Visiting college campuses. So as Ms. Toto said, this is a little different right now, but a lot of colleges are still offering college tours. So we had some virtual kind of visits at the beginning of this year. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again beginning of next year. So what you want to do in this spring and the beginning of next fall is go to the college. Even if you can't do the tour, drive around with your student. I always tell students, don't apply to a school unless you can physically see yourself going there. So physically being there is going to help them decide if they really could see themselves going there. If it's possible, if they have friends that are going to college, talk to them about the campus lifestyle. Is there a lot of commuters? Are weekends busy or are weekends quiet because there's a lot of commuters? So that's something that they want to think about because that's really going to be their new lifestyle on the college campus. Setting up interviews with admissions counselors at your top colleges. So as Ms. Toto said, if some of your students have like colleges they've been, you know, set on going to for 4 years, maybe you're an alumni of that college and it's legacy and you want them to go there, reach out to their admissions office and see if they're that they're doing interviews. They may be virtual, they may be in person. This is a great way for your student to become unique to that admissions counselor. They're gonna be more than just the paper application. They're gonna be a real person in the flesh or a real person behind the Zoom camera. So this is a really great way to kind of set yourself apart from the rest of the applicants. And then refer to the questions. So there's a document on the Google Classroom called Questions to Ask During Virtual Visits. You can also ask them during physical visits as well. But these are just some questions that we recommend students ask just because it's such a great opportunity to be with a tour guide. It's probably a student that goes there and they have a lot of great information. So you want your student to really take advantage of asking those questions when they have those people at hand. Letters of recommendation. So as I said, I would even get back to it. So we're gonna recommend your student is going to ask 2 academic teachers. And then they'll have a letter from us. So that is a total of 3 letters of recommendation. they want to ask these 2 teachers this year. The earlier, the better. Why do we say that? Because obviously teachers, if some of them are going to want to write them in the summer, and some of them are going to have a lot of students asking them for letters. So you want to be one of the first ones to ask them. So just in case they have a cap of like, you know, I can only write this many this year, your student is one of them. So definitely have them ask those two teachers this year, and I'll get into a little bit more of who they should be asking in a minute. Completing that senior info sheet on the Google Classroom, this is super helpful for us counselors. Especially me and Mrs. Toto, we're new this year, we're getting to know your students, but these information sheets are super helpful because even Mrs. Smith, who's known her students for a couple of years, there's stuff that obviously we're not going to know about your student, but also the parent brag sheet that you fill out is the most helpful thing that we use to write letters of recommendations. I think a lot of times it's really hard for students to think about all the things that are great about themselves, but as a parent, that is your favorite thing to talk about, is how great your student is. So we love the parent brag sheets because we feel like you have a really unique and great lens to kind of help us out in writing those letters. These help us, or our letter for your student is as unique and individual as possible. So those are both on the Google Classroom. You can fill that out and submit it on Google Classroom. That way we have access to it as we start writing those letters next fall, or maybe this summer. So who should your student ask for teachers? I know this might be a kind of a hard thing to think about. You want to focus more on those sophomore and junior year teachers. If your student had a freshman year teacher that they really have stayed in contact with, that would be okay. I wouldn't ask teachers from the middle school. I would keep it with high school. But you want maybe your teacher who has seen your student struggle, but then overcome. Seeing maybe your student was really struggling in their class, but they stayed after for a bunch of extra support hours and got their grade to passing. I mean, it wasn't the best grade they ever had, but that teacher saw how hardworking your student was. That would be a great letter of recommendation. Colleges can see their transcripts. They already know your student's grades, but having these background stories is what counts. Maybe a teacher who your student has had multiple times, a teacher who they've worked well with in the past. We always tell students, if a teacher agrees to write you a letter of recommendation, they're not gonna write you a bad letter of recommendation. So that's not something they need to worry about. Supplementals, letters of recommendation, that is something that is not from a teacher, but say I already had a student reach out to me, you've been playing basketball for years and your coach wants to write one. You're going to send that letter directly to the admissions office of all the schools you're applying to. You will not upload this to Naviance. Your teacher's letters and your school counselor's letters will be uploaded to Naviance, and the school counselor will send those three out. And there's a video tutorial of how to request the teachers on Naviance on the Google Classroom. So if your student does not know how to do that, there's a video tutorial on the classroom, or their school counselor can show them. It takes like 2 minutes, and this is something they should request those recommendation letters on Naviance as soon as they talk to the teacher and the teacher says yes. That way they don't have to worry about it in the fall. But if it's a supplemental letter recommendation, you're going to email that right to the school. Maybe it's from a coach, maybe it's from an employer. But make sure they're putting in those requests to Naviance prior to the summer, so that's something that's out of their way as they start really diving into the application process in the fall.
So I'm going to start to dig a little bit deeper in the other platforms. So the Common Application, as was mentioned previously, over 900 colleges and universities utilize the Common Application. The great thing about the Common App is it just sort of streamlines this whole process. So if your student is applying to 15 different schools and the majority of those are actually available on the Common App, they're filling out one application, and then they're going, you know, they might have a few extra questions to ask. I joke a lot of times with Ms. Toto, because when we applied to college through the Common App, it was, you know, a piece of paper that opened up to like this big poster and you had to physically check off all of the schools, and now we have all these schools available. So we're going to start talking about the actual application. Students cannot register until the summer. The reason why is because colleges are still receiving applications currently. So until that application season rolls over, we strongly suggest students waiting until roughly about, you know, July, August. Students can go on the commonapp.org to create their account, basic information, name, date of birth, address, and their phone number. It's important that students use their legal name as it's going to appear on school documents and standardized test scores, because all of this is going to match up in their system. So it's really important that the same information is used. Students would be applying as a first year student, and our applicants planning to enroll in the next 7 months. So this is something that if a student's planning on applying to school, you know, directly after their senior year, they would do this step. It's very helpful to do this over the summer just to get a jump on it, because The Common App is a lot of tedious questions about yourself, your family situation. That piece can be time consuming. So starting to chip away at it over the summer is just going to help streamline the process come the fall when things start to pick up. The college essay is a great opportunity for students to show a college who they are as an individual. The great thing is that students are, for the most part, going to complete their college essay as an English assignment in their junior year English class. So what their English teachers will do is they'll use the prompts from the current Common Application, and then they will assign those prompts where the students will be able to pick one of them, and that will be their essay. This is a huge benefit to the students because now they also have a teacher looking at it from a technical end. And the teachers are really great at not just looking at it from a technical lens, but also sort of having that idea of what admissions reps would be looking for. Students who go this route, we typically, when we see them in the fall, it's a matter of them just doing a once over, maybe editing a few little things here or there. We do sometimes come into situations where a student rereads their essay after the summer and they're like, scrap this, I want to start from scratch. That's totally fine. The summer is a great time to sort of start that process. There are prompts to help sort of motivate students, but if one of those prompts doesn't speak to a student, there is an option to sort of do a free write essay. The essay would be roughly about 250 to 650 words, and then the newer prompts will be available in April, May. The other piece that we'd like to focus on is that the essay focuses on the student and their strengths. It paints a picture of them and their character. Sometimes students will sort of go down a rabbit hole of they'll talk about this person who's impacted their lives, and then reading the essay, you know more about the person than how it impacted the students' lives. So it's really helpful for them to focus on, you know, something that's resulted in an impact and a strength for them. So financial aid, the cost of college is daunting. Even with the application process. The application process alone, fees can range from $50 to even $100 per application. So that's something to keep in mind. You know, when your student's coming to you saying, I want to apply to this school and this school, this school, a lot of times students get nervous that they're not going to get anywhere. So they feel this need to apply everywhere. If you are fine with paying for that, more power to you. But in the event, we do like to sort of always remind both students and parents to keep in mind the fees. However, if your family is experiencing a financial hardship, if your family, your students on free and reduced lunch, communicate that with their school counselor so we can make sure we provide them with an application fee waiver, as well as a fee waiver for the SAT or ACT if they plan on taking it. Another way to sort of think about it in terms of costs is a lot of students will do a different route. Instead of going directly into a four-year school, sometimes they'll use a transfer route in which they'll do 2 years at a less expensive school, finish maybe their associate's degree, and then transfer in for the last 2 years to finish out their bachelor's degree. Many community colleges in Massachusetts have this program. It's called the Mass Transfer Program. It's an awesome opportunity to get a lot of those general education requirements done for less money. And then not only do they have agreements that if you maintain a certain GPA, you can transfer into a number of both private and state schools in Massachusetts, but some of the programs do allow a tuition lock as well. Something else you're going to want to think about is the FAFSA. It typically opens around October 1st. That is something that if this is your first go at having a child apply to school, it can seem like a lot. So we will be providing resources that gives more information in regards to the FAFSA and the financial aid process. Another way to sort of keep costs down is applying to more safety schools, simply because if a student's applying to a safety school that is, you know, great for them academically, but maybe their grades set them a little bit above, they might be considered for more scholarship opportunity. And speaking of scholarships, students should apply for scholarships early. There is money out there. It's a matter of the legwork you're willing to put in to get it. There is truly a scholarship for everything, everyone, every hobby. It's just a matter of the research. We do provide local scholarships, and those will be communicated to your student their spring of their senior year.
We had someone mention in the chat, which is a really good point, thank you, that they had some schools waive the application fee if they toured the school. So that happens a lot. And honestly, sometimes you can just reach out to admissions directly and ask for a fee waiver. And a lot of times they'll just give you one. So it's worth it.
And one of the things, one of the trends we noticed this year as a result of the pandemic is a lot of schools did email us that they were not only extending their deadline dates, but they were actually waiving their application fee to sort of make it one less obstacle, one less barrier for students applying. So while we are the authority and the experts when it comes to the college application, we are not the experts when it comes to financial aid. We will not be able to sit down with students to go over their FAFSA. We will not be able to sort of, you know, answer the ins and outs of that process. We will, however, direct you towards MEFA, the Massachusetts Educational Financial Authority. They are a great resource to just become familiar with. As a result of the pandemic, they've sort of switched gears. Before, they've done a lot of like in-school sort of presentations, but now they've opened it up to more webinar and virtual events, which is actually turning out to be a better option because it's just making it more available to families. So this February, Thursday the 25th, there's an event specific for junior families. So financing for families of high school juniors, it's a webinar that's gonna start clarifying the entire college financial aid process. So we highly recommend you accessing this link, RSVPing. It might be useful to do either just yourselves or including your student in this process as well. Next steps for parents, because we know that this is a process, it's a lot of information that we've given you. So we also want to sort of help sort of direct what you can do to continue to help your student. So help your child prepare for the SAT or ACT if they plan on taking it. I do suggest at this point, if students are sort of on the fence, to really take advantage of the in-school SAT day. It would be helpful just to have a set of scores in the event that they do end up applying to a school that requires SAT scores. More so than often, SAT scores are gonna be more commonly accepted than ACT. So if that's easier, just in terms of it being already at Uxbridge High School, definitely go that route. You can help them prepare by having them go on College Board, doing some practice tests, and just simply helping with the testing anxiety piece, just calming them down. It's not the end of the world if, you know, they don't do well on the SATs, given that a lot of schools are moving towards a test optional policy. Research and visit colleges with your child. This is huge because it's going to be a joint decision to a degree. And so the more you know is going to help also inform your student's decision. Utilize Naviance to help your child build his or her college list. Again, Naviance is going to really be that crux of the application process. That's going to be how all of the documents are submitted, minus the application and the SAT and ACT scores, but also helping them to build that list on Naviance is just going to help. We can absolutely, you know, if they come in the fall and there's 30 schools on their list, that is totally fine. We can help narrow that down. So even just if a school, you read a couple sentences about it on Naviance, it seems interesting, add it to your colleges that you know you're interested list, because you want to make sure that your student is able to go back to it and not be like, oh, what was that school? I can't remember it now. So we always say to students, like, even if one positive thing sticks out where you may want to circle back to it, add it to that list. Help them stay organized throughout the search process, because every school, you know, ends up with different deadlines. They have different fees. Some request, you know, some have like SAT scores. Some policies are different. There's a lot of moving pieces to this. So how a student stays organized can vary from student to student. The nice thing is if your student's applying via the Common App, and a lot of, if not all of their schools are on there, the Common App has a really great way to sort of house that information, as does Naviance. But it might be easier for your student to create a spreadsheet. How that looks and what works for them, you could definitely be a helping hand in. Get the facts about what college costs and explore financial aid options. This is a conversation you're going to want to have early and honestly with your student about what is going to be realistic for you. For some students, when we talk about reach schools, we don't necessarily talk about academically. It could be financially a reach school, because unless the right package came down the line, it may not be an option. So really having that conversation about the schools and having it sort of be what you can afford, also what you would need to take out for aid is going to be important. And, you know, oftentimes we have very honest conversations with the students where they're trying to figure out what school they want to go to. And sometimes for them that it comes down to tuition and they don't want to have a ton of student loan debt for a degree that they're going to, you know, maybe make a certain amount right out of college for. A way to help with this is by attending financial aid events and discussing the cost of college, and then help your child make summer plans if possible, such as community service, internships, and work experience. Again, schools are not going to let the pandemic hinder their application. They're aware, they understand, they take that into consideration. They know that students are sort of at have limitations to what they can or cannot do. So don't worry if some of these are not an option. And then lastly, complete the parent brag sheet by the fall. It's just, again, we've said it a few times, it's just super helpful for us to really weave in those personal aspects of your student in their recommendation. So schools will be looking at your student's junior year grades. So the big thing to sort of that we've been explaining to the juniors this morning was many of them may end up applying in the fall. That means their transcript is going to reflect a GPA through junior year, and it's going to showcase their grades through junior year. That's why it's so important to focus on doing their best this year. You know, going to extra help if needed, submitting their work on time, attending all over their classes, all of this is going to contribute to a better grade for them, as well as when we do course selections, keeping in mind a rigorous senior year schedule. A college is going to see what classes they are enrolled in, even if there are not grades available at the time. So if they see that a student is enrolled in a bunch of random electives that have nothing to do with the degree that they want or are interested in getting, that's going to raise a red flag for them. It's not to say that your child necessarily has to take a million APs, but it's sort of having that balance that they're not just skating by their senior year either. If you have any questions, you can feel free to ask in the chat. You can feel free to unmute yourself. And if you want to reach out to your student's counselor specifically, we've also included our emails below. Ms. Carter, can you please go back to the financial aid webinar on February 25th? I'm actually going to include the link in the chat as well. There you go, everyone. That is the link to RSVP for the MIFA webinar event. So someone asked if we'd be providing the registration code for the parent Naviance account. Reach out to your child's school counselor specifically and they can get you set up. It's available. We don't typically go that route. A lot of times what will happen is a student will typically just give their parents access to their Naviance account. So if you want to talk to your child and see if that's an option, if not, reach out to their school counselor and we can get you set up. Any questions? Any thoughts, concerns?